And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
What is going on, Tampa Bay? Welcome in, listeners, to another episode of RBLR Bucks, where we keep that fire burning all year long. That is right, even in the off season, there are no days off around here. All right, well, welcome to the pod, welcome to the family, my friends. The name is Musab. I'll be one of your co-hosts tonight. And listen, yes, it's the off season. There's no live football on Sundays, no game balls flying through Raymond James, no cannons firing. But that does not mean the grind stops. We're going to be fighting through this thing week by week with y'all. Hang in there with us, all right? And before you know it, it'll be draft time. And then who knows? Maybe we make a splash or two in free agency. Then OTAs roll around, preseason creeps up, and boom, we are right back in the regular season talking about meaningful Buccaneers football. But on the real, though, we appreciate every single one of you, whether you are tapping in live with us or catching this after work or the gym or the car, wherever you're listening from, we see you and we thank you. And please keep letting us know how you feel. All right. Drop your comments, send the messages. We love hearing from y'all, whether, you know, it's on the live stream or after the show. But of course, a shout out to the rest of the RBLR squad holding it down across the board. You know, we got you covered for every Tampa Bay pro team. And even a little sprinkle of that USF Athletics in there just because they're looking real damn hot right now. So make sure you check them all out. Check out the whole crew. But enough of me talking. It's time to bring in, you know, already know who, the iconic duo. All right, first up, the man to my right. He has probably already watched next year's draft class twice over. Mr. Zach Blade, how are
you, man? What's going on, buddy?
Not much, man.
I'm excited for this draft class. I won't lie. I think I know we're going to do a little bit of a draft episode, but I'm excited for this draft class. I think it's a pretty deep one.
Absolutely. I think so, too. At least compared to last year, I feel like, yeah, this one excites me more. But, yeah, man, it should be a fun one. That's probably the big thing that's, you know, upcoming. And I love seeing all the, some – articles being very reasonable, and then there's always a couple of articles in there that are just, you know, got Bucks drafting like a long snapper in the third round from, like, you know,
Carter did that article.
All right, well, speaking of, we can't not get rolling without the steady hand, the analytics assassin, Mr. Carter Brantley. How are you, man?
All right, my friend. I'm doing all right. Yeah, excited to talk some Bucks football. And like Mr. Blaine said, we've got some draft talk this episode. We're going to be talking about the various positions that we think the Bucks should be targeting, where they rank in the priorities, which they should be targeting more. We'll talk about some position that maybe they could double up on. We saw it last year. They doubled up on cornerback. So, we'll be talking about all of it. But before we get too much further, hit that like and subscribe button if you like what you hear, because we're going to be talking about the draft for a while now. You know, this is kind of shifting into draft mode, shifting into off-season mode. So we've got a lot to talk about because, like Mr. Tariq said, no off-season with RBLR. So, yeah, definitely. And drop those comments, like Musab said, because I'm sure that there will be some folks who disagree with our rankings. I know we don't even agree with necessarily with the rankings that we have, because we all submitted, you know, different position rankings for this. I know that we had some differences of opinion, but we kind of came up with more of a composite list. So we'll kind of go, I'll go bottom up, and then we'll kind of discuss what our thought process was behind it. So coming in at kind of tied for seventh, we had safety and quarterback. So I'll fess up. I put quarterback as my like seventh position. It's kind of one of those things where, hey, day three, if it's round five and you know, if they're really convinced that, I don't know, Cade Klubnik or Drew Aller or some random quarterback is their guy or will be a good backup or can at least compete for a backup spot, then, you know, that's a reasonable thing. So I just threw that in there. But the other position was safety, which I also am cool with. It didn't make it onto my list, but it's kind of one of those just missed, so to speak, because, yeah, that depth is atrocious. You know, it's Antoine Winfield, Tyke Smith. Cool. But after that, it gets real thin. So totally agree there. Did y'all have any other thoughts on those two positions? Mr. Blaine, I'll start with you, man. Do you have any opinions on those?
Yeah, I mean, I was right there with you. I put interior D line or quarterback for my number seven. It was kind of like a 7-1-7 or 7-A-7-B situation. But I think I'd like quarterback more because technically right now, I think our only backup quarterback, if I'm not mistaken, is Pratt.
And right.
I'm not sure that he's ready to step in a game. God forbid Baker get hurt. I mean, he played through injuries this year because I think a big part of that was maybe Teddy Bridgewater not being ready to step in either. So I wouldn't mind. I've got guys that I like Taylen Green out of Arkansas. Also played at, I believe, Boise State before. There's people, and we'll get into more detailed stuff in future episodes, but I think QB is a good one to have, especially a cheap backup.
Yeah. I mean, especially in the end of the draft where it's not like you're not, you know, the opportunity cost isn't nearly as high because, you know, you're backup quarterback position. If you're not viewing him as a franchise guy, is very much like a lower priority because, you know, if you're having a backup quarterback in the game, then you're probably kind of SOL, if you will, anyways. So, I just thought I'd throw it in there, but Musab, did you have any thoughts on safety or anything like that, or maybe you had a few quarterbacks that you wanted to shout out or anything like that?
No, I'm kind of just with y'all on this. I mean, at this point, if you're getting drafted this late, we're just hoping you work out whoever you are. Whether you're a safety or a quarterback, we need reliable backups on ends, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, right. Look, if we get you, yeah, that late and you're at least seen as reliable, kind of plugging in, when shit hits the fan and you can at least do something, I'll take that as a win.
Yeah, absolutely. The day three picks are always sort of, the guys that fill out the rest of your roster, sort of guys that, the break glass and case of emergency fellas. And, that means kind of maybe taking some risks on some guys, maybe playing it more safe with some other players. It's going to be interesting to see how the Bucs philosophy takes shape. I think we're maybe all in agreement in that these positions are at the very least positions that we'd maybe be a little bit more surprised if they took them earlier than round three. Like earlier than round three, I think it would be a surprise if they took either safety or quarterback, frankly. But after round three, I'm kind of like, okay, yeah, safety in round four, quarterback in round four. No worries. But that's kind of where my head's at. And then at 6A or 6B, however you want to describe it, we kind of had a total of 6.25 and 5.25. It was interior defensive line and running back. Not in that running back was higher than interior defensive line. I was kind of surprised, Zach. I wanted to follow up with this on you because I think I had interior defensive line as my third highest priority because I don't know that there's Kancey and Vea, but that third spot, I mean, it's Elijah Roberts. I mean, I like Elijah Roberts, but is he really a starting caliber defensive lineman? I don't know. I felt like there was more of a need for a starter here than there is.
I don't think there's a need for a starter because I think we've got Vita and Kancey, and Kancey's was back at the end of last season, so it's sure. Looking like he's back. So there's not a need for a starter.
Well, there's that third defensive line spot in a 3-4. You know what I'm saying?
There's two edges and a – you don't run three nose tackles.
Well, yeah, but you got a nose tackle and then a defensive end, and then you need a third guy because a
3-4 – Yeah, that's two ends, which is what we run on the edge. We run edge guys there.
Well, but the edge guys are two of the four linebackers. Like, the edge guys are the two outside
linebackers. Yeah, that's part of running the 3-4, though. You're never going to have – you don't have Kalijah Kancey, Greg Gaines, and Vita Vea in the game at the same time.
Sure, but you have three interior defensive linemen lined up on a 3-4.
So then who do we have? Yeah, I mean,
that's what I'm saying. So like,
at all times last season, you would have Vea and Hazel. You would have Vita Vea, Kalijah Kancey, and then you'd have your two edge guys.
That's running like a nickel or something. Because then that's only 4-3.
How many times do you think we had three nose tackles, DN guys? Because our DN guys are our linebackers. That was like Anthony Nelson and Hassan Reddick. That's part of the 4-3, is it not?
But we weren't. But the Bucs run a 3-4. That's what I'm saying.
Or 3-4. Like, that's what I meant. That's what I meant.
So the 4 means four linebackers. It's two outside linebackers and two off-ball linebackers. The 3 part of that is three interior defensive linemen guys with their hands on the ground. So they have Vea and Kancey. So the third spot is open.
I don't ever remember seeing Kancey, Vea, and Greg great gains in the same time.
The way I see it is it's Vita at nose tackle, and then you got two, you know, you got one on each side. And yeah. I think that's what Carter was saying. But, you know, those are the defensive ends, and then you have the outside linebackers, and then
and last year it was mostly Logan Hall as that third guy or a lot.
But
Logan Hall, they're like,
I look at it differently. I don't consider them interior linemen or interior D linemen. If you're playing the outside on a D line, you're a DN, not an interior lineman.
I guess so.
I see what you're saying, and it is classified as a D end.
So I guess that's where our miscommunication is, because I don't look at it as a traditional, like, when I think interior D line, I think Vita Vea, Kalijah Kancey, and Ndamukong Suh, like that type of an interior D line.
Yeah, I guess when I said interior defensive lineman, I'm sorry, I meant like just someone that's going to line up on the
line. Yeah. See. Okay. So that's where our confusion is, I guess, because I'm thinking more traditionally, like I guess you call it old school, where like there's all these Mikes and Nichols and all these new names for stuff. To me, interior D line is someone who's going to line up over a guard or a tackle, and that's it. Like that's what I think of interior D line.
Yeah,
guard or center. I'm sorry.
Sure. Yeah. No, I get you. I guess like Kalijah Kancey's technically like could be classified as a DN too. Like there's the nose tackle. Yeah, he's
to me, I consider him like a hybrid. Like he could play DN inside.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I'm getting at is that the Bucs have two. You know, they have the nose tackle in Vea, and then they have they have the two spots next to him, and one of them's Kancey, but they need a third one in my mind.
Yeah, like, I guess I classified that under edge.
Okay, fair enough. So we're on the same.
Yeah, I have that up high, but my interior D line would be like Elijah Roberts, Vita Vea, nose tackle.
Yeah, I get you. Okay, well,
and every now and then you get a sack.
Sure. I get you. That's interesting. We had a little position discussion there because it's so interesting how different people view it. Like, and it gets into schematics and all that stuff.
It's 100%. No, that was a good conversation to have, because I can't lie to you. There's been times where I'm like, what are we talking about? Where like, I'm like, I don't agree with you at all. And I think that's where our miscommunication disagreements have come in from. Sure. We view it as different.
The way I think of it, if this helps helps me a lot, and the new Madden NCAA football games have done actually a pretty good job of this. Like in my mind, like there's the edge positions in the new football games, and then there's the defensive tackle positions. Like the defensive tackle positions are all that. Like when you have three defensive tackles on that little depth chart, all three of those guys are going to line up on the 3-4. Like they're going to be the three defensive linemen on the 3-4. You know what I'm saying? So like Logan Hall and Kalijah Kancey and Elijah Roberts are all technically defensive tackles, while Vita Vea is like his own separate category because he's a nose tackle. But like the rest of those guys could potentially line up next to Vita Vea. You know what I'm saying? Greg Gaines is also technically a nose tackle. So like that's kind of where my head was at with this one.
That's fair. And I guess, again, it just goes back to like the old school fashion of left end, right end, nose tackle.
It's getting into minutiae and
exactly. Exactly. Yeah, and being that's why I had interior D line so low, because that's how I looked at it. Like, you're on the inside of the D line. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And that's why I had it low.
Yeah. And when they drafted Elijah Roberts last year, he was technically like an edge slash defensive tackle. Yeah. So, like, they're very interchangeable. We're getting into like the nitty gritty kind of like silly minutiae stuff of it. But, so anyways, so we had interior defensive lineman running back. We just talked way too long about interior defensive lineman.
You know what? We got to fill time.
That's right.
It's the beauty of the trenches.
Hell yeah. That's right. The beauty of the trenches indeed. But running back I thought was more interesting because obviously Rashad White is gone. They're not bringing him back. So Sean Tucker, I think he's also a free agent as well, if I'm not mistaken.
He's restricted,
so they could technically bring him back. But even if they did, they still probably want to bring in a second guy. I still think round three would probably be too high for running back. What are y'all's thoughts? I don't know, Zach. I know you're a big running back guy. Do you think?
I was gonna say. I feel like it's just me and you talking a lot, so I want to hear Musab's thoughts first. If you're cool with that,
sure, of course. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, I've got some. No worries at all. No. I had running back at number five. I mean, I don't think it's okay. like a glaring need, you know, the same way, you know, the front, you know, seven is for the defense or hell, even our offensive line too, but more of just, you know, kind of like a, you know, like a rotational position, kind of a plug-in guy, you know, just honestly, just someone who can fill in, you know, Rashad White's role. And I don't think it's going to be that hard. I got high hopes, or hopefully we work something out with Sean Tucker. I want to see more of Sean Tucker. I do, but I do think that, yeah, round three is too early, you know, for a running back pick.
Yeah, especially with, you know, the depth of running backs, especially in these past two drafts, have been pretty good. You know, like you can get a very solid rotational running back, maybe not necessarily a starter, but they already have a starter. You know, Bucky Irving should theoretically be their starter this season, you know, fingers crossed with his injury concerns and whatnot. But, yeah, I think that round three would be a little too early. But, yeah, it's sort of similar to quarterback and safety in that round four on, I think it's open game. So yeah, I'm in full agreement. I think that we might be unanimous on this. Zach, I don't know though. Are you higher on some running backs than we are?
I mean, it's to be determined still. There's one running back, obviously, Jeremiah Love. Like, if you have the chance to take him, I don't think unless you do some crazy work in free agency, I would never be okay with taking at this specific team, taking a running back that high.
Right.
But Jeremiah Love is like, I think he's a freak of nature, can play slot, like legitimately can play slot. Like his route running is like a wide receiver.
Yeah, he's great.
So I think he's kind of a Swiss Army knife. But that's the only one I think I'd be comfortable taking in the first two rounds. Three, if there's a guy that slips, like I don't think I'd be mad at taking a running back in the third round.
Oh, wow. Okay. A little bit more bullish on
that. Don't get me wrong. It's not like my ideal, this is what I want, because I've got running back as the sixth most important.
Yeah, me too.
Mostly because we have, I think it's what, Josh Williams and Bucky Irving are the only active on the roster.
Yeah.
Backs, whereas, yeah, we have Sean Tucker, but Sean Tucker had some big games. So if somebody wanted to pay him to be a starter, I don't know that Tampa can afford to pay him as a starter. I think that if we sign Sean Tucker back, then that drops this need maybe off the list for me.
Wow.
Me too, for sure. It'll just be the Buck and Tuck show.
I think Bucky and Sean Tucker are the perfect duo. Like, they complement each other so well. I love that combination at running back. Obviously, undrafted guys, you want to bring in somebody, maybe a cheap free agent. Like, you still need a third or fourth running back, but I don't know that you go necessarily get one in the draft if you have Sean Tucker and Bucky Irving ready to go with Josh Williams. Wow, but if you don't bring back Sean Tucker, then I think it might move up because you do need
– Yeah.
Bucky is coming off of surgery now. He just had surgery, if I'm not mistaken. So. Yeah. Now you've got concerns there. While I still think Bucky is good enough to be the starting running back,
of course,
I don't want to solely rely on Bucky Irving and then go into Josh Williams as Bucky goes down. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I think it all depends on what happens up until this point. But looking at it right now, I think it's low and not too concerning.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this one, I mean, we'll come back to, I don't think we're going to change these too much. I don't think we'll change these rankings too much, but I do think Sean Tucker probably returns. And like y'all said, maybe that downgrades it a little bit, but I don't know. I do think that there's a very real possibility that the Bucks look at Sean Tucker and Bucky Irving and think, well, you know, it'd be good to have a third guy. So we'll see how it plays out, but running back and defensive line, definitely two positions to watch out for in this draft, which brings us to our next one. Offensive line and tight end are the next two. Tight end's a big one. I know that Kate Otten is a free agent. Reviews on Kate Otten, some people like him, some people don't like him. Baker seems to really like him. Some people really seem to think he's a good blocker. I know, Zach, you do not like Kate Otten. Mr. Tariq, what are your thoughts on the tight end room for the Bucks? I know Payne Durham and Devin Culp are there, but, you know, those aren't exactly necessarily the first guys you think of when you think of a starting caliber NFL tight end. So what are your thoughts
on that? Yeah, I have to say, thinking about the whole, you know, free agency situation as well with K-Dot, and I do have to say, I mean, you know, he's not in my eyes someone, you know, you're looking out the window and be like, oh man, you know, how do I work something out to get this guy, you know? It kind of just, you know, it's just like, you know, thanks for what you, you know, were able to do. But I don't know. I mean, rightfully so, I've seen some mocks, yeah, with, you know, with us getting, you know, tight ends. I forgot who it was. I think it was the tight end from Indiana or Ohio State. I saw one of them. But anyways, and, you know, it just makes sense, you know. Clearly, yeah, Culp and, you know, Payne Durham are not the solution at all. And, you know, if we got to let Auden go, and if, you know, Auden, you know, wants to, you know, go elsewhere, that's fine. I mean, it's, yeah, I'm kind of just meh on it now. At first I was like, oh, man. But now I'm just like, you know, I don't think anything regarding our tight end room has ever been, you know, kind of game changing.
Right.
It just stood out at times. It's just stood out at times because our wide receiver room is, like, you know, just been hit by the injury bug. So it's like, you know, it's like those bad teams that just have, like, stars. It's like someone's got to score the points on that team. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. Very you much. Know? Yeah. The
so,
NBA.
Yeah. For sure. You know. Yeah, so I think that's what we saw happen this year. You know, it's like, okay, well, a lot of starters down, you know, all right, you know, we got Auden for a reason there, you know what I'm saying, you know? Sure. So let's see what he can do. Yeah, but now
– Kate Auden.
Yeah, now it's like, look, it's off season. Let's freshen up and, you know, let's, yeah, reevaluate.
For sure. Yeah, I don't blame you, man. Yeah, I think we're starting to creep in. I think offensive line is still one that maybe they spend a third-round pick on, but anything earlier than that, I'd be surprised. Tight end starts to get into, like, oh, they could spend, like, a second or maybe even a first-round pick on this position. I would maybe hold off on a first-round pick just because their wide receiver room is so good. They have so many pass targets for that offense, like, with you know, like Buka and Godwin and McMillan, and maybe they bring Mike Evans back. Then drafting a tight end that high might be – then you're missing out on addressing the defense. And then it's like, well, what are we doing here? You know? So I don't know. I'm a little less bullish on tight end that high, but second round and later, I think I'm cool with, especially if they don't bring Otten back. But there is a very real world where they look at Otten and maybe he goes out into the free agency market. He doesn't get any good offers. And the Bucks are like, well, you know, for $3 or $4 million, you know, Kate Otten's a fine starting tight end. And then they can use these draft picks on other positions that are more important that we'll get to later on in this conversation. But Zach, I know you were a little bit more bullish. Where did you have tight end on your rank?
I have tight end at 4.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So that's
tight end at 4. And I was specific with interior O-line at 5.
Yes.
I'm terrified to draft a center in the first round again, because Graham Barton, as I said, was trash. I'm sorry, I'm being hateful. I have said there was a couple times where I was wrong, but he proved to me this season that he was not worthy of a first-round pick, in my opinion. But I do think that third round is kind of where I see interior O-line. This appears to be a deep draft for O-line. There's a lot of people I like in this draft. Tight end is the first position. My top four, if they take them in rounds 1, 2, or 3, I'm happy. There's one tight end I really like, Kenyon Sadiq.
Oh, he's an animal, dude.
Yeah,
he's probably the only tight end I'll be like, all right, fine.
That's what I'm saying. If he were to fall to us at 15 and we took him at 15, I would be a happy camper.
I'm on that level too. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that there is another tight end that if we took in the first round, I'd be happy with.
Yeah, same here.
And that's not to hate on anyone else in the draft. I think there's a few other first round guys, maybe one or two other first round guys, not a few. But I think that Sadiq is just a freak of nature athlete. And I think he would make me feel comfortable. I don't want to say Mike Evans not coming back, but like getting rid of Godwin kind of a deal where I'm like, we don't need all these wide receivers. So it kind of gives us trade bait necessary, kind of. But yeah, I think starting at number 4 tight end for me, any of these guys that we're about to say after this, I'm happy if we take them first, second, third round.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll you know what, we'll just get into the, those three positions, and it's edge, interior linebacker, and cornerback. Yeah, I'm with you. Really, any of these three positions, one, two, three, I'm cool. These are all pretty massive needs. Jamel Dean is probably not going to return. Then you're depending on Benjamin Morrison probably stepping up, because I think they're pretty, and rightfully so, pretty sold on Jacob Parrish in the slot or the nickel, whatever you want to call it. He did a great job last year at that spot. But Benjamin Morrison, you know, is he really the guy moving forward? I don't know. They spent a second round pick on him, so they could very well look at him and say, oh, yeah, we're confident that he can step up. But, you know, he's got injury concerns, and obviously the Bucks cornerback room for the past decade has had injury concerns. So, you know, it's one of those spots that even if they're not necessarily drafting a starter, I would be perfectly fine with them spending a third or even a second round pick on this spot. And then interior linebacker, tough scene. You know, it's not looking good. Who knows what Lavonte David does? And even if he is returning, they still need to draft at least one other starter to go along with him, if not another sort of project guy, because Servassier Dennis just did not work out last year. It was brutal. He was one of the worst linebackers in football in coverage. So not great. And the free agents just don't really inspire me in this interior linebacker spot either. I mean, there are a few that could be good, but in terms of a long-term solution, I'm not sure that there's anyone that I could see them giving like a 3 or 4 year deal. There are a few guys that are worth a 1 year little tryout type of thing, and they could start alongside a high first round or second round pick. But in terms of, you know, you don't want to double dip in free agency with interior linebacker. I really think they need to address this position for the future, like give themselves at least one solidified starter moving forward. So that's my thoughts there. And then edge, man, it's been years since the Bucks have had a good pass rusher. It feels like it's been a while. You know, they got Yaya Diaby, he's great. You know, I love Yaya. He's really good. But man, when you only have one guy that's even really a solidified NFL starter, it's going to be really tough. And that's kind of been the case since Yaya arrived. So yeah, they need another starter, man. They need another good guy out there. And I'm thinking they're probably going to try it again in the draft. Hopefully it's not another JTS situation, but we'll see. Musab, what are your thoughts on these three positions? Where did you have them ranked? Like, was it edge, interior linebacker, and corner the way we have it, or did you have it in a different order? Give me something.
Yeah, I had it that way. Yeah, edge, interior linebacker, and corner. Okay. You know, our three beloved defensive positions where, you know, like I've told you before, if our DBs ain't got it, hopefully our pass rush can do the job. Right. If our pass rush can't do the job, then hopefully our DBs got it. Well, guess who's in the top three, the pass rush and our DBs. Oh, why is that? Well, look what happened this year. So yeah, just, we have no proven depth specifically. Yeah. With the interior linebacker, you know, with Lavonte David, you know, sunsetting away probably. Servassier Dennis is clearly not the solution, and there's nothing behind him. And then, yeah, cornerback, as you mentioned, you already took the words out of my mouth. After Dean is probably gone, and then after that, it's like, okay, so we're just going to be relying on Morrison, but injury bug is bound to happen, so just right. – Yeah, and then edge, I was actually thinking about it as you were speaking, kind of the way Zach feels about the edge is just, you know, what have we, yeah, we haven't struck, you know, gold on edge for such a long time. So, you know, is the fifth or sixth time the lucky charm?
Right.
I think I just have like some bias towards, I think, the edge position. I just, you know, I'd rather, you know, have a nasty like edge rusher than, you know, like a solidified interior linebacker. But now I feel like I'm kind of changing my mind. I feel like because based on what you said, Carter, which is, you know, interior linebacker, man, we got to have at least one solid guy. So, I mean, there's also free agency. Those right. are kind of just, you know, it's like 1A, 1B. Yeah, but the corners also, yeah. I mean, corner rightfully is, you know, at number three because it's up there. So,
yeah. I do think that there are a few linebackers that I'd be like cool with them taking in the first round, but there are also a lot of Zach. I think you spoke on this earlier. There are linebackers that are going to be available in the second and third round that I think are actually very quality starters and that would be very good picks for this position. Whereas I do not feel that way about the edge spot. Like there are guys in the first round coming off the edge that I think will be good at 15. If they're waiting for the second or third round at that spot, then man, they could get into some trouble where it's just kind of the same issue as last year, you know, the same issues that they've had for a while now. So, I don't know. I get the apprehension about drafting a pass rusher in the first round, because they've done it a few times now and it hasn't worked out. But if the solution, or if the counter argument to that is just, oh, well, just don't spend any draft picks on the edge, well, that's not the solution either. So I don't know. It's a tough spot. Definitely 1A, 1B. They're very interchangeable for me. They'll spend either a first or a second round pick on either one of those positions. If they don't, then that's going to be a separate conversation. But Zach, I know you're itching to speak on this, because I'm a big fan of Jacob Rodriguez as well. So that's,
yeah, and I've seen him on mocks.
I mean, Jacob Rodriguez is the ideal candidate for me.
Right. And he'll be there in the second round. You know,
I have interior linebacker as our number one need. I've got interior linebacker, edge, corner. I do not want Tampa taking an edge in the first round. I don't think that Tampa has the ability to draft a competent edge, if I'm being completely real with you. We've failed to year in and year out. We've not had a double-digit sack guy since Shaq Barrett in, I believe, 2021. So,
yeah.
And I can't think of the last time we had a double-digit sack guy that we drafted.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't want to see this regime go through another failed. I've seen a lot of Cassius Howell. The first round. I think he's a good. I like him. I think he looks good, but I don't know if I think 15 is too early for him. Mm. If I'm being honest, but Sonny Styles, if we take him at 15, my fear is that if we take Sonny Styles 15, we're not getting Jacob Rodriguez.
Yeah.
But yeah. I do think how we doubled up on corner last year, I think this is the year to double up on inside linebacker. Because,
yeah, that's a perfectly viable thing. Yeah.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I don't think Lavonte David should be a full-time starter in the league anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't. He did not play well the last two seasons. Like, I just – I would love to have him back as, like, a mentor guy. Sure. Come in, get some snaps. But if we're relying on him to be our number one inside linebacker, then we're not going to be a successful defense again. And then corner, I mean, we say it every year. I say it every year. I'm not high on Zion McCollum. He's showed us that I don't think he's worth what we're paying him. Jacob Parrish, great pickup last year. Love him playing the nickel. While I do think Morrison could be a good corner, I don't know. I'm scared with his injury stuff, because back in college, he was hurt this offseason or last offseason in training camp. So it's like, if he can give me a fully healthy season, if we get through training camp and he's fully healthy, I'm comfortable with him being CB1 or 2. But we haven't seen that yet, so I still – these three, if we took any of these three in the first round, I'd be happy with it. There's a few corners I really like. There's a few inside linebackers and a few edges. Again, edge I wouldn't be happy with just because of our past, but I think we need it. I would like to see edge addressed more in free agency than the draft.
Yeah, it's just – it's tough, you know, because I mean, they sort of have tried all the different routes, right? Like they've drafted someone and that did not work out. And they brought in Hassan Reddick as a free agent. For
deals though. Like, I think you've got to stop being cheap and go get the guy you want. You cannot tell me that they went into free agency and they were like, Hassan Reddick, that's the guy we want. No, there's no shot. They wanted someone better. Hassan Reddick didn't have a market. And they were like, hey, we'll give you a 1 year prove it deal. And this is why against 1 year prove it deals on prime positions, like a 1 year prove it deal for an edge.
Right, Jason Light probably just found a couple of nickels under his sofa. That's what, like, I'm saying. Great, look at that. I can get Hassan Reddick now.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me to go, hey, this guy hasn't got a contract offered to him. He's had 2 years of bad attitude and not great play. let's bring him in and see how he does.
Yeah.
No, they gave him $14 million last year. This wasn't like a throwaway, like here's this wasn't that the Randy Gregory deal.
Where for they the just market, him, that's a pretty cheap deal.
I guess, but it's not the Randy Gregory deal where you're giving him like $5 million and it's like, oh, well, this guy's not even going to necessarily.
Well, yeah, but I mean, Hassan Reddick was viewed
as a starter last year, like going exactly. into last year.
But a cheap starter. Like,
sure.
Yeah. And that's where my head's at. Like, it was a prove it deal as far as being a starting DN. If we were paying a backup DN $12 million or $14 million, we wouldn't be happy about that.
Yeah. See, I think Zach's first rounder, like free agent. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. When I say free agent, I mean the obvious.
Rightfully so. Yeah. We haven't seen anything. And
there are better players that would be more impactful in free agency than in the draft this year.
I do actually want to ask y'all a question because Carter actually brought up the idea with the whole interior linebacker. You know, he's not sold on the, you know, interior linebacker, you know, free agency pool. Is there one position, you know, free agency pool that you're kind of sold on where you're like, okay, maybe we do something with the free agency on that position and then we don't have to worry about it in the draft? Are you going to say Max Crosby?
You'd be stupid not to say Max Crosby. Like,
he's not a free agent.
That's why I'm saying Max Crosby. Yeah, that's an off-season move I've made. But if we're talking strictly free agents, I think I'm high on quite a few interior linebackers, if I'm being honest with you. Devin Lloyd being my favorite one. Devin Bush being another really good option. Quay Walker, I think could move more to an edge outside linebacker position. But Quay Walker, like, there's a few that I'm high on. I don't know, outside of Devin Lloyd, I don't know that there is one that I like more than Sonny Styles and Jacob Rodriguez.
And Devin Lloyd's getting paid. Like, he's great.
He's gonna get paid. But I do think there's a chance he doesn't get the money that we're thinking, only because did he play all 5 years on his contract, on his rookie contract, or was it four? I don't know if they picked up his option or not.
Not sure. That's a good question.
Whatever it was, he played either three or four mediocre seasons up until this last season. He had a really big breakout season, but he's 4 or 5 years in. Yeah. So I do think there's a chance that someone doesn't, or that people don't pay him as much as, let's say, if Jack Campbell came out and was in his contract year, he's getting paid because he's produced the whole time. Whereas Devin Lloyd has only produced great one season.
I think the tough part there is people, you could look at Zach Bond's contract as kind of an example as to, well, like, a guy played at a really high level for 1 year, and I feel you, it's 1 year, but, you know, you're kind of banking on that. And you know, free agency is always going to be like a tough return on investment.
Agreed.
You're
probably right. I do think he gets paid, but I do think there is a world where he doesn't, if that makes sense.
And I think the tough part about it is if you do bring in Devin Lloyd, then that ties up a lot of money. You're not bringing back Mike Evans. Obviously, Lavonte David is out of the question too.
If we would stop being cheap, we could have so much
money. Oh, I mean, that was just going to, yeah, I just feel like this is like a numbers game. And
realistic with it that we're not going to stop being cheap. Right. But, like, I guess I'm looking more at, like, in the perfect world, we could make something happen.
Sure, of course. Yeah, if the Glazers were more willing to open their pocketbooks, then, yeah, absolutely bring back Mike Evans and bring in Devin Lloyd and then go from there. But unfortunately, you know, I think we talked about this the last episode too, like trying to live in the world that we're living in, you know what I mean? Like Jason Light is dealing with Jake or the Glazers and that's where we're at, you know, and obviously it'd be great if they sold the team to more willing ownership who actually has cash that they want to spend. That would be great. Unfortunately, that's not where we're at. So I guess I'm trying to think of, things that are more in the world of, like, what the Glazers and the Bucks can
in the Glazers budget. Because
of course they could afford to spend more. Of course they could, like, you know, the Glazers are incredibly wealthy. So, like, they could spend more money, but they're not going to, because that's how sports ownerships work. You know, that's the world we live in. But I'm with you. It's frustrating, man. I'd love for the Bucks to be able to bring in Devin Lloyd and then still retain Mike Evans. Cause then it makes this draft process, I think, a lot easier. Then you can kind of, then you could maybe stomach drafting an edge rusher in the first round a little bit easier.
I still wouldn't.
Well,
I don't care. Yeah. I went out and signed Devin Lloyd, traded for Roquan Smith, and had the perfect middle linebacker defense. I wouldn't want this team drafting an edge no matter what.
What if they drafted Jacob Rodriguez in the second or third round? Would it be okay?
Then I said I wouldn't care at all. I said, all right.
I want to make sure you're holding to that.
But I don't want them to. If we draft Jacob Rodriguez, you know what? All is forgiven. I don't care.
Okay, fair enough.
That guy is going to suck. Not Jacob Rodriguez. Whatever edge you draft is going to suck. I just have to come to deal with that. It is what it is. But we got Jacob Rodriguez. So,
yeah, I guess I think a good comp for edge rushers, especially with the Bucs, like I view edge rushers in just being sort of, this is a rough metaphor or comparison, sort of being like the quarterback spot on the offensive side of the ball where like, yeah, you're going to miss and you're going to miss big. But when you hit big, it's like it changes your whole defense. Like it's one of those things where like if you hit on the edge room and you get a Micah Parsons or a Max Crosby or fill in the blank Myles Garrett, whoever, then you literally transform your defense. And then that's like your foundational building block.
A blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then. So,
and that's that. Yeah, that's kind of it. So it's the high risk, low reward type.
But I'd rather risk it on a position that we've proven to draft well.
Because
comparing it to quarterback, we've never drafted a good quarterback either. So,
right. Yeah. So but that's the thing, you know, how many teams can say they've drafted a good quarterback. It's kind of a shorter list than you'd think. So I don't know. It's a difficult thing. I'm not sure what their thought process is. You know, it seems like they have a shifting one. The good news is Jacob Rodriguez seems to pass a lot of the, I think Jason Light put it in the offseason last year, don't be a asshole test. Yeah. Jacob Rodriguez passes that test. So he's all set. It's all good. Like he won't be a turd. He won't be a problem in the locker room. Knock on wood, he hasn't gotten into any legal trouble or anything like that. So at least he passes that test. So the likelihood of them drafting him is about as high as anybody else. Like I think that's actually a pretty good fit. So hopefully they fulfill Zach Blaine's dreams and they bring Rodriguez in, because that'd be a lot of fun. I'm with you. I like him. He seems like a good leader. He seems like he would be able to fill Levante David's shoes in that way. So I think that'd be really cool. But if you're looking to fill your wardrobe, if you're looking at your closet and thinking, man, I could use a Jacob Rodriguez in my closet, shop.rblsports.com is the Jacob Rodriguez of wardrobe upgrades. We've got you covered for everything Tampa Bay sports related. And we'll give you a promo code because it's the, you know, the drolls of the offseason. It's depressing. Cannon, CANNONS. Type that bad boy in. Get 10% off your entire order and lift your spirits a little bit because there's no football. So moving on to second half of our episode, I guess we can call it. I usually say that, but it's not really necessarily the second half because I think it'll be a little shorter because we're 45 minutes deep. Man, that was a good segment. That was a good long segment. But
I like that, man. It was good debate, good conversation.
Yeah, and we're not quite done yet, so hold your horses. I did want to ask y'all if there were any positions that, like, just missed this list for y'all. Like, I know we kind of covered a lot of them. Like, I think the only position that maybe wasn't listed is wide receiver and, I guess, for y'all's individual list, I guess, would be a good question. Zach, we'll start with you, man. What positions just missed?
Safety just missed for me. I was telling you guys in the chat, the top four needs are so glaring. And right. Then, like, we get into the bottom three on our list, and it's like interior O-line. Like, I think we could get by with our interior O-line we have now.
Yeah.
I think we could sign an undrafted free agent and be okay at running back. Like, then quarterback, like, if we brought in Jimmy Garoppolo or Trey Lance, like, a young – not Jimmy Garoppolo's not young, but, like, Trey Lance is young and going to be probably significantly cheaper than most – probably a rookie we draft, if I'm being honest with you. So it's like if those are all positions that if we didn't draft any of those bottom three interior, I guess technically four if you count the tie at seventh. If we didn't draft any of those, like I feel like we're okay in terms of we have people that can fill in and play. And that was why, like when I was telling you guys that, it's like those top four, we don't have a starting lineup right now of those. Right. So those are the only four glaring holes that I see. I would love an upgrade at all the seven, but if the only one that really kind of missed my list is safety, and I don't think we necessarily need a safety.
Yeah, that was probably the main position for me as well. And interior offensive line just missed my list too, because I do think that they need some backups there, because Ben Bredesen went down and it got ugly. It got ugly real quick. So, you know, maybe just spending like a day three pick on that position would be fine. But Musab Tariq, what were some positions that just missed your list?
Actually, what missed my list was the safety and the quarterbacks. Okay. I actually didn't have that on my list. Yeah. So, both of those, I would probably go for. I can't imagine. You know, I wanted to choose another one, but it's really those that really just missed it. The ones sense. I think we're all good on, like wide receiver, I think we can just hold off on, unless we see some, you know, some crazy hidden gem from, like, you know, Wingate University in the seventh round, some 5'7", like fresh out of Germany prospect, still learning English.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, you know, just
you could be the next. What was the guy? Bobo.
Oh yeah, the guy for Seattle.
Punt returner. Yeah, you could be punt Bobo returner.
Wilson, right,
Bobo Wilson. Yeah,
that's
right.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
Oh no, it was Jack Bobo.
Jack Bobo. Yeah, Jack
Bobo. Wide receiver from.
No, we're also talking about Bobo Wilson, though. Yeah, because I don't remember.
There is a Bobo Wilson. Yeah.
Hey, he was on our Buck squad for a hot second, I think.
Shout out the Bobos, man.
Shout out the Bobos, man.
That's right.
I'm actually a big fan of Jack Bobo.
Yeah, no, he's pretty good.
I don't know if it's Jack or Jake. I think it's
Jake Bobo.
I think it's Jake.
Yeah.
Jake. Starts with a day and ends with a K. That's all I know. Right.
That's
yeah,
right.
Jake Bobo. Yeah.
That's right. So are there any? So I guess Musab, you kind of brought it up, but and I think that sort of answers the question for you. But Zach, are there any positions that you'd be like really surprised to see the Bucks invest in, or are you kind of like I don't know?
Same regime that took a kicker in the second round,
right?
I would not be surprised at anything with this front office, but. Me personally, I think if we took that's such a dumb answer, and I apologize, it's a boring answer. I genuinely don't think anything is off the table. Now, if we took a quarterback round one, then yeah, I'd be like, what the hell are we doing?
I mean, I think even Baker would probably call up Jason Light and be are you drunk?
Having a Kirk Cousins situation in Tampa. But yeah, I don't think that there's anything that would necessarily surprise me with this team, mostly because it's just this front office is – I don't think it's a stretch to say they're clinically insane.
okay. Well, I guess we'll have to have them tested in that regard. But
I would like to, and I think we might –
shout out to Brent.
Shout out Brent. Hey, he's back. You not have to draft a quarterback in the first round for him to be our franchise quarterback. That's a very good point.
Exactly.
Agree. I mean, I don't think we have a first-round quarterback that's been a franchise guy.
Who made the rule that only first-round quarterbacks are franchise quarterbacks? Hey, that's true, man. There's not necessarily a rule.
I think there's actually probably a lot of guys in the NFL that aren't first-round guys.
Yeah. You know, I mean, Dak Prescott wasn't a first-round guy. If you consider
you probably have a better hit rate in the first round on franchise guys than later rounds, but I don't think it's necessarily a rule.
No, not at all.
And I think that's where a big part of, like, you don't have as much faith in a fourth-round quarterback as a first-round guy.
Right, and I think another thing –
can't do it, but it's the likelihood is higher for an early round guy to be your franchise quarterback.
And from an opportunity perspective, you don't have nearly as much invested in that fourth round pick. Cutting a fourth round pick, that happens all the time. You know, like, you move on from those guys every year. So, like, that's not as big of a deal.
Yeah, if your first round quarterback comes in and has a trashy first season, he's less likely to see a second season. Whereas you bring in a first round guy, you're not cutting a first round guy year two. So he might make that jump. Like, quarterback is a position that I think takes time to develop. And we're seeing these younger guys kind of come in and show out right away, which is cool. But I think if you have a guy that develops into that, it makes him a better player in the long run. So I think that you just have more incentive to hold on to that first round quarterback longer, as opposed to a second or third round guy where you can just go, he had a bad season. We'll just draft another one.
Yeah, and that sort of gets into this recent trend with Baker Mayfield's a great example. Sam Darnold just won a Super Bowl. The retread quarterbacks, or the – I think that's kind of a gross way of putting it. There was a podcast I listened to that called them Phoenix quarterbacks because they rose from the ashes. But trying to make it less like, oh, these guys sucked, and now they're kind of okay, you know, like being less harsh about their beginnings. And, you see that – you've seen that in the NFL recently. Even Daniel Jones with the Colts, you know, that's sort of a similar thing. And it's kind of a fascinating thing. Even Geno Smith sort of had that little time in Seattle where he wasn't too. I know he was awful last year with the Raiders. Don't get me wrong, I get it.
But I think it was the Raiders. If I'm being honest with you, I think that Geno Smith is going to get another opportunity to play, and I think he can still make a little bit of noise. Not as much as when he was in Seattle, but
hey, no, I'm with you, man. I thought Geno, any quarterback would have struggled the way Geno Smith struggled this past year in Vegas. Really, really a horrible situation out there. So yeah, no, I'm 100% with you. But I know a lot, that's not the consensus. A lot of people think Geno Smith sucks, which, hey, maybe he does, but, I'm definitely not a rule that he has to be drafted in the first round. And you know, maybe the Bucks do view some guys in this draft class that are like, hey, this guy could maybe be a starter moving forward for us, especially if he just sits for a year. You know, I think that that's an added bonus of spending a day three pick or a later pick than a first round pick on a quarterback, because then there's not that added pressure of, oh, we just spent a first round pick on this guy.
And also, I think he was touching on a point where, like, if we were to draft him in the first round, it'd piss Baker off.
Right.
I think that goes into, there are so many other needs on this team for the first round that if we draft a quarterback in the first round, I'm expecting a first round talent to make an impact day one.
Right. That's
right. Oh, yeah.
If you're drafting him to be your quarterback of the future, that means he's not doing anything for me day one. So if I draft a quarterback day one, that needs to mean Baker is off this team and he is starting right away. And I don't want that. I think Baker is a completely serviceable quarterback.
Yeah. And I think that's sort of what makes it such a frustrating way of doing business, that's what gets me kind of rankled sometimes about quarterback development in the NFL, is that, you know, these teams, they don't there's some name for it, but it's basically the bias that, like, you want to do the right thing. You don't want to just do the thing that's going to save your job. You want to do the thing that's good for the building. Like, they talk about that in the NFL, like, you want to do what's right for the building, not just the thing that's going to keep your job. And very often you see them just rush quarterbacks into starting, and that's not good for the team. That's just good for you, because then it's like, oh, well, we need to see what we have in this guy so that I can save my job, you know? So yeah, it can be frustrating to watch NFL teams deal with their quarterback play. But hopefully the Bucks can address the position without feeling the need to rush him, without Baker having to look over his shoulder. I'm sure if it's a fifth round pick, Baker is very much secure enough to know, like, hey, like, we need a backup, you know what I mean? So, like, I'm sure that's the thought process in there. But yeah, we'll see if they address that spot. And it's going to be interesting to monitor that storyline. But one last question before we sort of depart. And I think this is the most interesting question for me, because we brought up interior linebacker for this discussion. But Musa, we saw it last year with the cornerback spot. They went back to back with cornerback picks. Are there any spots, maybe not necessarily back to back, but are there any positions where you think the Bucs could draft twice in this upcoming draft?
Ooh, this is tough. Other than interior linebacker, back-to-back, though, that's
back-to-back would be tough. Even just double-dipping throughout
the game. Oh, double-dipping. I could see some double-dipping for a couple. I mean, I could see double-dipping with the interior linebacker. I could see double-dipping for cornerback, edge, you know. I'll probably say those three. I'll probably say our top three, I could see us double-dipping with those.
Yeah, interior linebacker especially, and like you said, edge is definitely number two in that regard. I would be a little – because they double-dipped on corners last year, and they've got the three with Parrish, Morrison, and McCollum. So I would be maybe a little surprised if they double-dipped there, because then that gives them five, like, actually pretty – at least, like, guys who you wouldn't feel like white-knuckling starting, whereas, like, interior linebacker, you feel white-knuckling starting.
Were we all in the same defense last year, brother? I was white-knuckling every pass I went in the air, whether it was to the corners or the linebackers.
Well, fair enough. But regardless, Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if they double dipped on interior linebacker or edge, but yeah, maybe a little bit with corner, but even then, you know, I'd be okay with it.
I'm of the same mindset. I as much as I joke about needing corners, I think if we double dip again at corner, we're leaving space somewhere else. I think our top two, edge and interior linebacker, are the two most I wouldn't be shocked if we double dipped at both of them. Because that's how bad we need
it. No, they are. Yeah.
I think you are almost guaranteed to double dip at inside linebacker.
Wow.
Even if, because you need two.
Yeah. No, I agree. That's a Zach Blaine guarantee, huh?
I would be shocked if they didn't, dude. I'm not saying it's going to be round one, round two, round three. Like, I'm not saying it's going to be consecutively.
Sure.
Listen, you get Sonny Styles and Jacob Rodriguez, the things I would do.
Man, I would be so know the things you would do. That sounds like a fun time that you would have a good time with that. I'm with you. I definitely wouldn't be opposed to it at all. I think the only pushback on the guarantee part of it would just be that I think they might view like Servassier Dennis as the third linebacker, and then they bring in a free agent, like an outside guy, to spill that second interior linebacker spot. Cause there are, like you said, there are some decent guys out there that they could give even like a 1 or 2 year deal that's lower dollar amount than Devin Lloyd. Like,
Alex Anzalone.
Alex Anzalone. Hey, he's not bad. Yeah. He's not bad. He would be fine as a second.
Not linebacker. A long-term solution, but can come in and mentor somebody else, kind of a deal.
100%. And maybe they view Levante David in that world. You know, maybe they bring him back. And
okay.
I feel you.
We need someone that can also play.
Like, I feel you. But watching Levante David play in a different uniform would also be depressing. That would suck. I don't want that to happen either. So, I don't know.
If it's between him playing for us or him playing for somebody else, go play for somebody else. If that's the two options, brother – been fun. You're a legend. Your jersey will be retired here one day, but I need people that can produce on the field. And look, I love the idea of having people retire as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer and all this, but I also want to put a competent defense on the field. And Levante David is not a competent starting like prime linebacker anymore.
Yeah. I don't know. It's tough, man. I see the logic and the brutal cutthroat, you know, nature of what you're saying, but man, it's tough because you know, Levante David seems like a nice guy and he's done a lot for the team. So it's
fully agree. Like, I love the dude. I think he will be a Tampa Bay legend forever. It doesn't matter if he goes and plays somewhere else.
Right.
But at the same time, like, we can't pay him starter money and have him be our starter on this defense.
Yeah. And I don't think that he would. I think he's, you know, if we're sitting here saying that, hey, Levante David looked rough last year, they know it. I'm sure he knows.
I think everyone feels that way.
And more realistically, other teams in the NFL know that too. So like other teams in the NFL aren't going to be itching to give him $8 million to go play linebacker for their team. They know, hey, this guy's at the twilight of his career. If he wants to go play his last season in Tampa Bay for $3 million or whatever little amount they want to give him, then let him. Otherwise, I think he's probably going to retire because the market just isn't going to be what he demands. And he's made enough money to where, like, I think if he's on the edge, then it's like, man, just retire, man. You've had a great career.
Yeah.
I think that's probably where his head's at. And he was very reflective in his last press conference after that victory against the Panthers at the end of the season. It sounded as if he was giving his retirement. Like, he was very much like, hey, thank you guys so much for treating me the way you did. Like, it, you know, very much a reflective attitude at the end there. So I think that the ultimate solution is that he just retires anyways. So we're kind of worrying about something that's probably nothing, but
agreed 100%.
But regardless, we're coming towards the end of our episode. Really appreciate y'all for tuning in. Hope y'all enjoyed our draft discussion. There's going to be a lot of it. We'll get more in depth with some of our favorite players. We'll talk about Jacob Rodriguez and Sonny Styles and Kenyon Sadiq from Oregon. We'll talk about all these guys. More of an in-depth scouting report look. We'll have our guys, you know, we'll we'll pick them, and hopefully the Bucks draft them, because, you know, it's kind of fun when we have a guy that we're looking at, and then the Bucks draft him. I think Logan Hall was one of my guys, unfortunately.
Bad take, brother.
Hey, it happens.
I'm pretty positive.
What were you thinking? What were you thinking, Carter?
One of mine.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? You
know? I don't know what hurt more, him getting picked or me or the whole Buccaneers fan base just waiting and waiting to be so excited for that first-round pick, and then only to find out
it's going to get it traded.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's tough. But, you know, hey, you swing and miss sometimes. Like you know, stuff happens. But regardless of whether I or Zach or Musab or whoever brings up a guy that turns out to be another dud, we will be back next week talking about some of those potential duds or potential diamonds in the rough, or hidden gems, as Mr. Musab Tariq would like to call them. We'll be back next week. Really appreciate my two wonderful co-hosts for making my job easy. Hit that like and subscribe button on the way out. So until next week, and as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.